Karen County with Karen County Show. This week, the city of Chicago agreed to pay $20 million to the families of two men who were killed when a drunk off-duty police officer struck their car. Detective Joseph Frugali had blood alcohol levels four times the legal limit and is now serving 8 years in prison downstate. Joining me to talk about this case and why the city is paying for the acts of off-duty police officers is nationally recognized personal injury attorney Tim Cavanaugh. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tim.
Thank you, Karen. Good to be here.
We also have other two lawyers who were involved in the case, Mike Sorich and Kevin Conway, and I'm going to light up their microphones here, too. Hi. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thanks, Karen.
Good. Congratulations on your settlement for the families of these two gentlemen. Let's start with what happened. What was the accident like, Tim? What happened to these two men?
So on April 10th, 2009, these two young men, Andrew was 23, Fausto was 21, they were driving home, headed southbound on the Dan Ryan. They had a flat tire. The tire actually disintegrated, went up into the electrical system, so they didn't have any means to drive the car or have any lights. But they were able to get the car off to the side of the road on the Dan Ryan, just south of Roosevelt Road, just where that entrance ramp is. And they were in the best spot. It was dark out. It was the middle of the night, after 3 in the morning, but it was a well-lit area with artificial lighting. And this off-duty police officer, Joe Frugali, who had been at a number of bars, including Dugan's, was four times the legal limit, came down that ramp and plowed into the rear of this car. That car started on fire, and these two young men burned to death.
Tragic accident. And you sued the Chicago Police Department and Frugali, is that correct?
We did.
Okay. And what your theory was that even though Frugali was off duty at the time, he wasn't in uniform, correct?
That's correct. He was driving his own car.
He was driving his own car. And by what theory, from a legal standpoint, do you hold the city responsible for someone who's not on the clock?
Yeah, it's based on a Supreme Court decision, the Monell decision, but it's all based on the code of silence that's here in the city of Chicago that's been acknowledged by Mayor Emanuel. It's an unwritten rule of protecting fellow officers for their bad acts. And we know from going to Joe Frugali's criminal sentencing hearing that he had a horrible history of bad acts. He was an alcoholic. When you talk about Joe Frugali, you have to realize two things. One, he was a Chicago cop, and two, he was an alcoholic. And he used to drink and drive in city proper, and he knew he could get away with it if he was ever pulled over by a city cop. And we know that because we discovered evidence in this case that it had happened on multiple occasions, and I'm happy to talk about those examples.
Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit about it, and I want to get some of your other co-plaintiff lawyers here. Kevin, just give me a sampling of what happened in this guy's past that maybe should have had him off the street.
Well, first of all, he has been a very serious drinker, 15 to 20 drinks 3 to 4 times a week. He's been doing that since he was 16 years old. He did that again and again. He drank with fellow police officers. He was drunk. He drove drunk every night that he drank. So what we have is someone who was stopped a number of times. He actually struck a police car and injured two policemen one night at 5 a.m. And they never even took any field sobriety tests of him. This is somebody who was given a pass again and again. And our theory was that the city enabled him, that is the police department, enabled him by not taking action.
So the idea was, like, on any of these given occasions, had he been given a breathalyzer, he may have, you know, been incarcerated, or at least maybe he may have gone to rehab and stopped drinking, so that by giving him a pass, not even as he was a police officer, and obviously they were doing that to protect one of their own, but they were giving a pass to someone who was then going to go out and do this, not just on Chicago police time, but on his own time. And so we basically, the city freed him to do that.
Yes, it's even worse than that. The city withheld evidence from us. And during the trial, it came out that the city knew that he had committed a few felonies one night at a tavern on the south side in Bridgeport, where he beat up one person, he threw one across the bar, he broke property, and then when the police came and told him to stay still, he got in a car and drove away. There was a police chase, they got him, and the first thing he did is he pulled out his badge and says, I'm a police officer. Somehow, mysteriously, the charges were dropped. He was given 5 days off after the internal investigation. And those documents were withheld from us. We found them during the trial.
Tim, the case went to trial, and you tried the whole case, and the case settled somewhere in the trial. What prompted it to settle so quickly?
We were in the middle of closing argument. I was actually just got done with my liability argument. It was almost 2 hours. I switched over to told the jury, now I want to talk about the damages in this case. The city at that point asked for a... sidebar. Judge Kendall pulled us over. We talked about it, and we now know that the excess insurance carrier, it wasn't just City of Chicago money. I live in the city. I'm not happy that my tax dollars are going to pay this, but they had insurance through one of these national carriers, and that excess carrier stepped in, and they offered us $20 million.
So they maybe saw which way the wind was blowing on this, you know.
They knew it was going to be a bad verdict.
Mike Sorich, you were a state's attorney. You were a prosecutor before you started working for plaintiffs in these kinds of cases. Tell me about the code of silence a little bit. Is it? I take it it's not just Chicago. This is not a unique to Chicago scenario, correct?
That's correct, Karen. It happens in every city across the United States. And it's when other officers cover up for the bad acts of those few officers. You know, certainly the code of silence doesn't affect every single police officer. We're certainly not saying every police officer is a bad officer, but in situations where this does come up and misconduct does occur, it's particularly important when you're dealing with the police department and you're giving officers you're giving them a gun, you're giving them a badge, they're given very important powers that they can take away someone's life. You know, they can lock someone up and incarcerate them. So with those great powers, there's some responsibility. And that's what this case was about, was being able to identify Joe Fregoli early on in his career and discipline him so that this tragic event didn't occur.
Is there something unique to police officers? And I always think in my head as an analogy, we are lawyers and we are, you know, bound together because we've all gone to law school and we have similar experiences and maybe we even have similar outlooks on things. But when lawyers do bad things, we have a duty to report them. And if we don't report something significant that a lawyer has done that was wrong, unethical, we are responsible. And our licensing commission has held us responsible for those types of things. But I don't know that I see lawyers covering up to the extent that I hear police officers cover up. But again, I have friends who are police officers. I think it's one of the most difficult jobs, especially now in this climate. And I don't want this to be we're crucifying all Chicago police officers. But is there something unique to being a police officer that makes you cover for your buddy? Tim, is that...
Well, I think it comes down to culture. I mean, we as lawyers, we have a duty to disclose misconduct by other lawyers. The Supreme Court has recognized that. But the culture of the Chicago Police Department, I can only speak to that because we did a lot of depositions in this case. And the culture in the city of Chicago is that they're going to cover for the bad acts. You can't find a memo or a document from the CPD that tells the fellow officers to do it. But we uncovered numerous examples in this case where police officers, not just Joe Fregoli, but other police officers would drive drunk and they knew they could get away with it because if they were pulled over by another CPD officer, they were going to be given a pass.
You know, it just seems to me, too, it's probably more... I don't know what the word is, but if you're riding around in a car and you've got a partner, you know, you're protecting that partner's life because on any given day, as we know with some of the recent tragedies and the shootings of police officers, that your day could be your last. And so you rely upon that person to protect you. And I would imagine that protection goes beyond what most people do to protect a coworker, because it's life or death, whereas my job is generally not life or death. So do you think that this case and all the money that was paid out, and a lot of angry people, even Rahm Emanuel, said, I don't think money should have been going to this. It seems like a waste of money and waste of taxpayer dollars. You're representing the families. You have to do what you do, and you did it, and you did it successfully. Do you think, though, that this is going to be a lesson to the city, another lesson, yet another one, so that we change the culture and we change the procedures and we change what's happening? Is this something that is positive for the city?
I think so. My clients think so. It was important that in evidence we put in this case. You know, Mayor Emanuel has taken a step that no other mayor did before. He publicly acknowledged that there's a code of silence. We played the videotape of his speech to the city council, to the jury. It was powerful evidence in this case. So the first thing, when you want to change the culture of an organization, you got to admit there was a problem. So the mayor should be applauded for actually publicly acknowledging this problem. Now, the more difficult thing is changing the culture of the CPD. But you know, the mayor had his own public accountability task force, and then the Justice Department came in, but he should be applauded for having this task force that also has acknowledged this problem, and he's taken that first step.
And that's a good thing. And I'm a firm believer, and a lot of people don't like lawyers, getting big verdicts, and it costs everyone money, and why do they need the money? These are two young men just basically, murdered in the prime of their life. And I think that if nothing changes social and governmental wrongdoing, it's money. It's just money. It's people getting angry, having to pay it. I mean, how much in wrongful death cases do we have? $500 million, $500 billion, I think, in the last 10 years or so. The numbers are staggering. And so instead of complaining about paying out that money, maybe we should be changing so we don't have these cases in the future. That's my little opinion there. But well, thank you for joining me. Tim Kavanaugh, Mike Sorge, and Kevin Conway, congratulations, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Karen.